This is the 55th, I can hardly believe that there have been this many, 55th study in our series of studies in systematic theology for the local church, and the 11th in the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, the further subdivision, the second on the work of the Holy Spirit in sanctification. I first became conscious of God's work in calling me to Christ in the fall of 1961. God saved me by His grace in January of 1962. During that period of time, I was witnessed to by a fellow college student and also by a representative of Campus Crusade for Christ. I will always be thankful for the ministry of that organization because God used it to save me. Now, I was told right after I was saved that I could be filled with the Holy Spirit, and if I were, I would then have an abundant and fruitful life, particularly if I witnessed to people, they would certainly come to Christ. And I was given printed materials that showed me how this would work. I have provided for you in the notes, a footnote, an example of that that's available, still available, currently on the site that I give you there. How would it work? I needed to desire to be directed and empowered and filled by the Holy Spirit. I needed to confess my sins, present all of my life to God, and claim the filling of the Holy Spirit as promised in Ephesians 5:18. That would do it. The emphasis, as I said, was on fruitfulness in witnessing, spiritual power, results. Well, I did witness to many people, but saw few, if any, people come to Christ. I became more and more frustrated and gradually realized, after studying Scripture and reading many commentaries and sources, books on the Christian life, I gradually came to realize that there had to be a better and more biblical way. I had been taught to use a formula, an oversimplified prescription for fruitfulness in the Christian life, and it did not work. The filling of the Holy Spirit is commanded in the New Testament, so it cannot be neglected. Like so many of the doctrines concerning the Spirit that we've seen already, this one has been distorted and misunderstood in many different ways. Here's another example of this distortion that is slightly different from the distortion that I was presented with. This one puts six ministries of the Spirit into one bucket. Now, I've given you the source for that if you're interested in looking at it. I don't think you'll find much valuable on that page. But here is what it says. Our study of the Bible tells us that the terms baptism of the Spirit, drinking of the Spirit, pouring out of the Spirit, Spirit coming upon you, Spirit enclosed with power, and filling with the Spirit or filling of the Spirit are all synonyms. They describe the same experience. I cannot agree with that at all. Interestingly, even John Piper shows confusion concerning the filling of the Spirit, mixing it with baptism and regeneration. On his website, you can read this. The phrase baptized in or with the Holy Spirit was apparently coined by John the Baptist. All four of our Gospels record that he said, I have baptized you with water, but he, that is Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. The only two writers in the New Testament who refer elsewhere to the phrase baptized with the Spirit are Luke in the book of Acts and Paul in 1 Corinthians. Luke refers to it twice, quoting John each time, and Paul refers to it once. But I don't think Paul and Luke use this phrase to refer to the same thing. Now, what's most important is these last two sentences. John Piper says, for Paul, the baptism of the Spirit is virtually identical to regeneration or new birth or conversion. I cannot agree with that at all. They occur at the same time. But they do not amount to the same thing. For Luke, it is essentially the same as being filled with the Spirit. Baptism equals being filled. and refers to that first introductory experience of this fullness. There are at least two errors in that paragraph. Here's a definition of the filling of the Spirit that we will provide support for in the remainder of this study. Here's my definition. The filling of the Spirit is two different things. Number one, it's a constant characteristic of a believer's life. It consists of regular control by the Spirit that produces Christ-likeness through Scripture. And secondly, the filling of the Spirit can be a special enablement at particular times for service during the first century. Now, it's very important that we look at the key words, Greek words, associated with filling in the New Testament. The filling of the Spirit is mentioned 15 times in the New Testament. Only in Luke and Paul is filling connected with the Holy Spirit. In the Gospel of Luke, it's found 4 times, in the book of Acts, 10 times, and in Paul once, in Ephesians 5:18. There are 3 words that are used in all of these passages. One of the three words is used in these passages. These words are used to describe the filling of the Spirit in the New Testament. They happen to be common in ancient Greek also. First word is pleroo, usually translated I fill. If it's in a different person, if it's in a third person singular, it's he fills. It could be passive and it can be past tense also. Pleroo means is translated as full or filled. And a different verb, pimplemi, it's a funny sounding verb, but occurs quite often in ancient Greek. Pimplemi means I fill. Now, these words are all related historically. You may have noticed already that there is a segment that could be spelled P-L-E, play, that appears in each one. Indeed, they are related historically. Now, these words are used to fillings of various kinds outside the Bible and inside the Bible. They're used, for instance, in the New Testament of the fulfillment of prophecy. It's in the sense that prophecy is filled up with meaning. They are not only used for the filling of the Spirit. When we look at the use of these words, we find distinct patterns of usage by the writers. Any underlining in the passages that I give you below is throughout the whole study is my underlining. Let's look first at the verb pleroo and the adjective pleroos. This verb and adjective seem to be used in the same way. And we'll find that especially when we look at the context, that these two words are always used to describe a constant characteristic of a person's life, whether they're used of the filling of the Spirit or being filled with something else. They're used to describe a constant characteristic, something that's true of the person as a whole. Now, here are some examples. They're examples that describe the filling of the Holy Spirit. And they're examples that describe filling with something else, too. So Luke chapter 4 and verse 1. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit. This certainly was a constant characteristic of his life. He was always filled with the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 5 and verse 12, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Again, this is an ongoing condition. The text literally reads, he was full of leprosy, ongoing. John chapter 1 and verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth was a characteristic, constant characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was always filled with them. Now, a very important passage, Acts chapter 6, and 3 times we have filling mentioned here, twice by the Holy Spirit. In those days when the number of disciples was increasing, the Grecian Jews among them complained against the Hebraic Jews because their widows were being overlooked in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 gathered all the disciples together and said, "It would not be right for us to neglect the ministry of the Word of God in order to wait on tables. Brothers, choose 7 men from among you who are known to be full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom." So here's the first occurrence of some kind of filling. Full of the Spirit and wisdom. Now certainly that would be, if wisdom is a constant characteristic of someone's life, which it is, it doesn't come and go, it's not momentary, short term especially, then the filling of the Spirit would be the same, because they're linked. We will turn this responsibility over to them and we'll give our attention to prayer and the ministry of the Word. This proposal pleased the whole group. They chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Spirit. Again, if a person is full of faith, he's characterized by having faith. That's a long-term quality. And if that's so, and I believe it is, then the filling of the Holy Spirit for Stephen would have been long-term quality, something characteristic of his life over a long period of time. They also chose Philip, Procurus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas from Antioch, a convert to Judaism. And then down in verse 8, Stephen is described again as having a fullness. He was a man full of God's grace and power. Same word again. And if one is certainly being full of God's grace and power are long-term constant things. So in each of these occurrences, with the word play race, you have an ongoing characteristic of a person's life. Acts chapter 11, speaking of Barnabas, he was a good man full of the Holy Spirit and faith. Again, must be a constant ongoing characteristic as with Stephen. Acts 13:52, the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Spirit. It's interesting that there's an imperfect tense, which is past and ongoing. The translation could easily be they were filled in an ongoing way with joy and with the Holy Spirit. So it's lasting, it's enduring, ongoing characteristics again. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, we'll come back to this and treat it at length. Philippians 4:11. Filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. That would be something that would be lasting, filled with the fruit of righteousness. Colossians 2:10, you've been given fullness in Christ. Literally, you stand filled up in Him, a perfect tense. You're in that state. That couldn't be any clearer. You are in a state of being filled up in Christ. Must be long term. So all of these examples, whether used of the filling of the Spirit or being filled with something else, are long-term characteristics of a person. And the other word that's used for filling in the New Testament is quite different, however, and it's pimplemi in various tenses, present, past, and so on. And when we look at it in context, we see that the filling of the Spirit, when indicated by this word, refers to enablement for a particular task, something that was short-term, something on the near horizon, something immediate, and something that, in almost every case, is not lasting, not enduring. So here I provide some examples for you, including uses not related to the filling of the Spirit. Again, watch for filling for a particular thing that a person had to do, particular purpose. Luke chapter 1 and verse 15, "For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, John the Baptist, never to take wine or fermented drink. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from birth." This is a filling for a particular ministry. It would last, but it was a filling for a particular thing that God had for him to do. And I want you to notice in these examples that in many of them, the passive situation for the individual who is filled is very obvious. But John the Baptist didn't do anything to get filled. He was filled from his birth. So he was totally passive in that. Luke chapter 1 and verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, very passive. And she is filled for her role in bearing John the Baptist. Acts chapter 2 and verse 4. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Very passive. Very clear that God is sovereignly doing this. They didn't do anything to make this happen. And they're filled for the purpose of speaking in tongues and testifying at Pentecost to the great works of God. So, again, filling for a particular task may be longer term, but the person who is filled is passive, and very often this is their short-term things that are involved. Acts 3:10, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him, filled with wonder and amazement on this particular occasion with regard to this man who had been healed. Acts chapter 4 and verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people. They're very obviously the filling. Peter's filling is for particular service right at that time. If he's filled for boldness, then it is really a passive thing. Acts chapter 4 and verse 31, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. So believers are filled with the Holy Spirit for strengthening. Again, a passive thing. They didn't do anything to make it happen. God was preparing them to do something. He had something for them to do, and he did the strengthening by the filling of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 5 and verse 17, then the high priest and all his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. So here's filling with something other than the Holy Spirit. Just as we've seen Acts 3:10, a filling with wonder and amazement, here's a filling with jealousy. It's a quick response, certainly something that in the way it happened there that would not continue. It was limited in duration and demonstrates again the particular occasion quality of pimplemi, particular task or a particular occasion. Acts chapter 9 and verse 17, then Ananias went to the house and entered it, placing his hands on Saul. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul is certainly passive in this, and it's a filling for his special role in proclaiming the gospel, similar to the role of John the Baptist, filled from birth, particular role associated with the filling. Acts 13:9, Saul, who's also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked straight at Elymas and said, you are a child of the devil. So a filling for a particular task, and undoubtedly a short-term filling for that task. I came across an article on the internet on the filling of the Holy Spirit. I did a lot of searching to find examples of things that would be helpful and things that would be not so helpful. And I found all kinds of both. And I found an article by a man named Arthur Temesfelt that provides a good description of the difference between these two groups of words, and particularly he's speaking of pimplemi. This kind of filling was always seen as a sovereign act related to ministry. And we saw that's particularly clear, for instance, with Paul in Acts 9:17. That you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit for his ministry and preaching the gospel. So this kind of filling was always seen as a sovereign act of God related to ministry and not to maturity. Furthermore, such a filling was apparently independent of the recipient's maturity at the time. At the very least, no such criteria were specifically stated. In other words, there was nothing that the text says the person had to do to be filled with, in these examples of pimplemi. They were passive. So to argue for such preparation or criteria for being filled would be to argue from silence. Spiritual maturity may have increased the likelihood of being filled this way, but this type of filling was not seen as producing the maturity. And that's all very accurate. The uses of pimplemi have nothing to do with the spiritual life as a whole when they are used of the filling of the Holy Spirit. They are used of filling for some particular task where the individual is passive. And we'll come back to that. So we've seen two sets of words, plerao and pleres, that describe constant characteristics of life. And when they're used of filling, the filling is something constant and ongoing. And Stephen and Barnabas are the examples particularly to keep in mind. And then we have pimplemi, where there was filling, where people are very often obviously passive, and there is some particular work, some particular occasion that the filling occurred for. Well, let's turn to the main passage that's the most important for us in understanding filling, and that's Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And here's the verse with its context. The context is important. Ignore the underlining here because it will be important for our thoughts about something else in a few minutes. Be careful, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Submit to one another out of reverence to Christ. Now, we need to look carefully at details of verse 18, in particular, the being drunk on wine and being filled with the Spirit. Now, first of all, the word that's used here for being filled is from the first group that we saw, and it has to do with a constant characteristic of life. So we know as soon as we hit this verse that we are dealing with a constant characteristic of life. The filling is something that should be characteristic of a person throughout his life. Secondly, there's a parallel, although a negative one, between being drunk with wine, between being intoxicated, and being filled with the Spirit. Whatever whatever wine does to the physical body, the Spirit is to do it with the spiritual realm for the individual. But of course, as the first is to be avoided, the second is to become true for the believer. Second key feature of the verse has to do with the features of the verb translated be filled. It's a present tense verb. First of all, it's a verb that describes a constant characteristic of action of a person's life. And then it's also present tense, which suggests something that's ongoing or repeated. And we're actually going to see in a few minutes that it is both ongoing and repeated, involving periods of filling interspersed with times when the believer is not filled. But this is not a repetition as found with words such as pimplemi, where a person could, for instance, be filled with rage, and then a little later filled with rage, and a little later filled with rage. Those were pimplemi, looks at particular occasions, particular events, with particular causes. This is something ongoing, and if it's repeated, it's different from those pimplemi uses. Third thing to notice is, very obviously, the verb's a command. Be filled with the Spirit. This is the only place in the whole New Testament where the believer is commanded to be filled. So that it makes it all the more important that we understand what this means. And finally, the verb is passive. It does not say fill yourself with the Spirit. It says be filled with the Spirit. Now, the big question is, how does that happen? Now, let's think for a moment about the role of the Spirit in filling. And what we find as we look at the text is that Paul says, be filled. The preposition that he uses, the way he describes, the way he writes it here, can be translated three different ways. It can be translated, be filled with the Spirit, be filled by the Spirit, or be filled in the Spirit. Filled with, by, or in the Spirit. These are all translation interpretations. Which is best? The first translation would mean probably that the Spirit is the content of the filling. As in, I filled the glass with water. Water was the content that I put in the glass that accomplished, constituted the fullness. The second translation, filled by the Spirit, would mean that the Spirit, either that the Spirit is the content of the filling, or that the Spirit provides some other content. Probably the latter, that the Spirit is taking something else and filling us, and He does the filling, but He's not necessarily the medium. He's not the content. And the third translation interpretation, filled in the Spirit, it's possible, but I don't know what that would mean. Now, some people, taking the second translation, filled by the Spirit, as most likely, and in his article, Temesfeld says that takes this to be the way it should be interpreted. He concludes that the Spirit provides the content, and the content is Jesus Himself. So he says, be filled by the Spirit, and what you're filled with is Jesus. Now, he does this in great part because he says that the earlier portions of Philippians speak of the fullness of Christ. And he said it's obvious that the several times that Paul speaks of fullness, he emphasizes Christ, and that must be what the fullness consists of here. So he sees Ephesians 5:18 as saying, be filled by the Spirit with Christ. Christ, the Spirit takes Christ and fills you with Christ. Now, for several reasons, I don't think that that's a valid argument. One of the main reasons is if Paul wanted to say that, he could have said that. And the most natural way to take the verse is to assume that the Holy Spirit is the content, that the Holy Spirit fills us with Himself. But there is an emphasis in his view that is correct. And that is, Jesus is to be primary. And we'll come back to this in a moment. Now let's think about the results of being filled. And this will turn out to be very, very important and not secondary. The passage gives us four results of being filled. And I've underlined them here in the text for you. And it's unfortunate that the NIV does not give you a good connection, because it translates all of them with the finite verbs. So you got verse 18 at the end. Be filled with the Spirit, speak to one another, sing and make music, always giving thanks, there's a participle, and submit to one another. But it turns out that they are all like English ing words. They're what's called gerunds or participles. And they tell an accompanying circumstance to the being filled. So you could translate it this way. Be filled by the Spirit, speaking, singing, giving thanks, and submitting. They all depend on the filling. Grammatically, the filling is the head. The filling is the key thing. And then there are these four other things that are connected with it very clearly grammatically. You can't get around that. But the NIV, unfortunately, obscures that. So if you are filled with the Spirit, you're going to be speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music to your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting. Four things that you will be doing if you were filled with the Holy Spirit. But what does the filling mean? We still haven't answered what the filling means. So let's think about the filling. Some have suggested that the filling of the Holy Spirit in Ephesians 5:18 can best be described as the Spirit's controlling work. writers such as Charles Ryrie stress that. And I think it's true. I think it's right. And that's particularly true because of the negative contrast with being intoxicated. When you're intoxicated, you're controlled by alcohol. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're controlled by the Holy Spirit. But that still doesn't tell us what the filling consists of. To say it's control doesn't tell us enough. How does the controlling ministry of the Holy Spirit and what work and how and what brings it about? Well, we get a big clue, huge clue, I think a decisive clue from Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. And I've reproduced verses 1 through 16 of Colossians 3 because the context is important. I won't read the whole thing, but I'll emphasize the things in the context that are important for understanding verse 16. Let's go to verse 16 of Colossians 3 first. And I've underlined it for you. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let it dwell in you richly. Now notice that there are consequences, three consequences. As you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, with gratitude in your hearts to God. Three consequences of having the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Notice the beginning of the chapter. It's all about Christ. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 3, you have died, your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you'll also appear with him in glory. Verse 15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. This passage is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says in verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Now, you should have noticed already, I hope, that the consequences of letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly are almost the same as the consequences of filling in Ephesians chapter 5. So here you have speaking in psalms and hymns, singing, making music, and giving thanks. In Ephesians chapter 5, you have almost the same thing. I'm sorry, Ephesians 5 is speaking in psalms and hymns, singing, making music, and giving thanks. Here in Colossians, teaching and admonishing, singing psalms, singing hymns and spiritual songs, and being thankful. I think that the parallel is too strong to be ignored. And I have to conclude that if the consequences are the same, then the cause must be the same. And therefore, I take it that for Paul, the word of Christ dwelling in us richly is equivalent to being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to ask what the word of Christ is, and there's only one other occurrence, and that's in Romans chapter 10 and verse 7 of the phrase word of Christ. Consequently, faith comes by from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In Romans chapter 10, what's the word of Christ? What is it that you need to hear to get saved? Well, it's not just Jesus' words. Those would get you saved. But it can be any part of Scripture, right? Word of Christ must be Scripture. Any portion of Scripture. So the Word of Christ is the Bible. And now let me read to you what Robert Raymond says about the relation of Colossians 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. And keep in mind as I read this that the Word of Christ is Scripture. And having the word of Christ dwell in you is having Scripture dwell in you. So Raymond says, to be filled with the Spirit is to be indwelt by the word of Christ. He is saying Ephesians 5 and Colossians 3 are pointing to the same thing. To be filled with the Spirit is to be indwelt by the word of Christ. To be indwelt by the word of Christ is to be filled with the Spirit. One must never separate the Spirit from Christ's word or Christ's word from the Spirit. The Spirit works by and with Christ's Word. Christ's Word works by and with the Holy Spirit. So, to be filled with the Spirit is to be filled with Scripture that, of course, exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get the filling? How do we get the filling? Well, we do it by having Scripture dwell richly in us. This must mean that we know what it says. We internalize it. We obey it. This brings about conformance to the will of God and produces Christ-likeness, not spirit-likeness in the believer. Do you know of any passage in the New Testament that says, be like the Holy Spirit? I don't think there is any. Do you know of passages that say we're to be like the Lord Jesus Christ? Many different ways, right? So we are to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. We're commanded to be like Him, not the Holy Spirit. And God is changing us to be like Christ, not changing us to be like the Holy Spirit. That wouldn't be bad, because the Holy Spirit is God and the Holy Spirit is perfect. But it's in God's plan and purpose. It is the second person of the Trinity who is joined with humanity, walked on earth in space and time. And He is our model, not the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit's role to make this happen. When Scripture fills us and the Spirit is making us like Christ, then we are filled with the Holy Spirit and controlled by the Holy Spirit. As a constant characteristic of life, this means that there is a right relation to Jesus Christ. He's glorified in the believer. And since it is the Spirit's role to glorify Jesus and not Himself. And I want to note at this point, it's very important to remember that the charismatic movement emphasizes the wrong person of the Trinity. And besides its errors concerning the ministries of the Spirit, filling and baptism of the Spirit and other doctrines, it spends most of its time seeking the works of the Spirit. The Bible clearly teaches that the Spirit does not glorify Himself, but He brings glory to Christ. It is the Spirit's role to produce Christ in us. So we obey the command of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 to be filled by doing everything that the Bible says about growing to be like Christ and then being like Him. There's no shortcut or formula for being filled. Fulfilling the command of Ephesians 5:18 is not something that happens overnight. It doesn't happen by repeating a prayer or by taking certain steps. I like what Raymond says. I didn't quote it here. He says it doesn't happen by repeating a mantra, some kind of charm. That's essentially what I was taught to do. Being filled with the Spirit is a result of obeying what Scripture tells us about the Christian life. In other words, we fulfill the command to be filled indirectly by obeying Scripture. And this leads us to glorifying Christ. It doesn't work to say, I see this command to be filled. Holy Spirit, fill me. Boom, I'm going to be filled. And that's what so many have leaped to. It's fulfilled indirectly as we do other things to grow to be like Christ. We're commanded to be filled with the Spirit, but we accomplish this not by looking to the Spirit directly, but by looking to Christ and seeking to grow in Him. And I think this is why there's no information in Ephesians 5 about how to be filled. It says be filled, it doesn't say how, does it? Well, think about Stephen in Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. Chapter 6 and chapter 7. Stephen, I can't believe that Stephen followed some formula. He was a man who obeyed God, he glorified Christ, as seen in the very last moments of his life. He honored Christ and could therefore be said to be filled. Recalled the last moments of his life, after recounting the history of Israel, he brought great conviction to the Jews who were listening to him, such that their hatred for God because of his words, they were so piercing and so full of the Holy Spirit, because he was filled with the Spirit, that they decided to murder him. And as he died looking to heaven and seeing the Lord Jesus Christ waiting to receive him there. He honored Christ and could therefore said to be filled, since the Spirit dominated his life and produced Christ-likeness. There is no simple recipe that brings filling, just the components of the healthy spiritual life with the believer growing in Christ-likeness. Now, the New Testament presents the healthy spiritual life as continuous growth. Charles Ryrie has this in several of his writings, several of his books, and I think it is so good and so helpful. The Christian life isn't something that happens by spurts where a person has some great experience and then is spiritual, and then he has another great experience, and he becomes more spiritual, and so on, in a stair-step effect. No, it's a constant, rough, not a straight line, not entirely linear, but a line that goes up gradually as we become more and more like Christ. The filling of the Spirit is a key component of this. But the means of filling is the same as the means of growth in the spiritual life. Obedience to Scripture, not ecstatic and special experiences. We should avoid thinking of filling as something that can be turned off and on as we would a faucet. Filling is the result of a consistent walk with God. It depends on a genuine and mature relationship with the Holy Spirit. Simply asking to be filled will not bring it about. That's why I was frustrated. Ask to be filled. Confess your sins. You will be filled. And everybody you talk to will have an interest in the gospel and want to come to Christ. And they will come to Christ. Didn't work. Something was wrong in my life. And that formula didn't help me to change it. I needed to grow in Christ and learn to exalt and glorify Him and be more like Him. Now, some of the points of obedience to Scripture that bring about growth in Christ, you know them. Just remind you of them. They are, for example, initial dedication of the body, Romans 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brothers, by the mercy of God, that you present your body living sacrifice, a surrender of the body. And that changes the way we think. Verse 2 of Romans 12, changing the renewing of your mind, goes on. Then there's diligent study of Scripture, 2 Timothy 2:15, rightly dividing the word of truth. Faithful participation in a biblical local church, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, with the strengthening fellowship that it brings, Acts chapter 2, 42 and verse 42, you might think of. And then there's a sound prayer life, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, and everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. And Romans chapter 12, using gifts in service. If you have a certain gift, Paul says, use it. If you have that gift, use it. If you have another gift, use it. Don't let them sit. Use your gifts in service. There are many other biblical teachings about those things that in our lives will bring about Christ-likeness through gradual growth to Christian maturity. There are some hindrances to filling because it's a spirit work in producing Christ-likeness. Anything that's contrary to the process is also a hindrance to the Spirit, grieving the Spirit, lying to the Spirit, testing the Spirit, defiling the body, which is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and there are many others. Any sin hinders the filling work of the Holy Spirit. And because we have sinful natures, we will continue to sin in this life. No one can be continuously filled. The filling of the Spirit will consist of periods of control by the Spirit to produce Christ-likeness with intermittent periods when there's no growth in Christ. When we're not controlled by the Spirit, what are we controlled by? Sinful nature. Therefore, there should be a trend of upward growth. And when I redo these notes, I'm going to put a little simple graph in here. You might want to put it in now. It will just consist of a series of lines, a short line followed by a space, little longer line followed by a space, little longer line followed by a space, and a longer line yet followed by a space. And they could be even slanting upward, because there will be, as we are saved, when we are saved, we can be, as we seek to grow in Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit for a short time, but the Christian life for a person who is recently saved is very much up and down, very much usually dominated by sin. And so there's a short period of time of being dominated by the Holy Spirit. Then a time when sin dominates, and then there should be a little longer time without sin being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And then sin occurs, and then a little longer time, and longer with intermittent times when we are not filled by the Holy Spirit. So I said a few minutes ago that the filling of the Holy Spirit is continuous but intermittent. It is continuous in that there is an upward trend where we are dominated more and more by the Holy Spirit, but it's intermittent in that sin naturally intervenes. We are not sinless. And that brings me to a clarification, because some have said, if it's, and Tennisfeld particularly says this, where he says the Holy Spirit places Christ and gives us more of Christ, and so that Christ dominates us more, and that's the filling of the Holy Spirit. He fills us with Christ. And he says, well, if you were filled with the Holy Spirit, you would be constantly controlled by the Holy Spirit, and so you'd never sin. Well, we know that other scripture tells us that we do sin, and that's our fault. That's because of our choices, and we allow our old nature to dominate. Another clarification that we need to make is that the question has to do with the question of those occurrences of pimplemi, where a person is filled with the Spirit for special service related to special occasions. Remember that Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18, the only command to be filled for believers in the New Testament, falls into the group of uses that describe constant characteristics of life. We are never commanded to seek the special enablements produced by the Holy Spirit on particular occasions, but we are commanded to have the Spirit's fullness as a characteristic of life. Now, it's possible that the Spirit would fill individuals today for special service, as he filled Paul on special occasions and Peter on special occasions. Again, those occurrences of the word pimplemi, but it's not something we should seek. We're never commanded to seek that. We're commanded to seek the filling of the Spirit as a constant characteristic of life, and I believe that's quite different. And I think that the fact that the last recorded occurrence of one of those special enablements rendered by pimplemi in the New Testament is in Acts chapter 13 and verse 9 with Paul. And this suggests to me that this special enablement was only for the apostolic period. I can't prove that, but I think that the use of a different verb, a different word in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18 from pimplemi strongly suggests that the kinds of things that the Holy Spirit was doing in the book of Acts are not the kinds of filling that we should seek today. And then we need to remember that filling is not a positional truth, but an experiential truth. It's experiential not in the sense that we feel something, we notice it, but it has to do with our practice. The baptizing work of the Holy Spirit, his indwelling, is sealing our positional works, things that we can't feel, things that we know Scripture tells us have happened. We can be sure they've happened because Scripture tells us, and they are positions. They are locked in. But the filling commanded in Ephesians 5:18 is not locked in. We are to do something in our practice to make it happen. Now, remember at the beginning in my introduction, I pointed out some confusion between filling, with the meaning of filling, and confusion between filling and other doctrines associated with the Holy Spirit. Filling and regeneration are different. Regeneration is the unfelt work of God that brings a new heart that can come to God by faith. It's capable of heart that's pleased, capable of pleasing God. It happens at time of salvation. Filling is a continuous work of the Holy Spirit that produces Christ-likeness, quite different. Filling and Spirit baptism are different. Spirit baptism, as you recall from our study on this, brings about identification with Christ and puts a person in the body of Christ. It's positional. We don't sense anything. It's not experiential. We don't need to do anything. Filling is experiential in the sense that it is something that involves our responding to God and doing something to bring it about. Filling and indwelling are different. Indwelling is a basis for filling, since it brings the Spirit to permanently inhabit the believer, but indwelling is not, and filling are not the same thing. Indwelling starts at salvation. Filling begins when the Christian grows in obedience to Scripture as it produces Christ-likeness. And let me say again something about the young Christian? Is it possible for the young Christian to be filled with the Spirit? I think it is. It's often not the case. But in order to grow at all in Christ, we would have to be filled with the Holy Spirit at certain times. And that would be those short lines at the beginning of the Christian life. There is growth that's expected. There's always growth that's expected. But the pattern will be that a person moves from being dominated by the Holy Spirit from time to time to be dominated for longer and longer periods of time. Filling and sealing. Sealing is a result of indwelling. It's unfelt. It's positional. But sealing is unfelt and positional. Filling is something that we are called to do. Filling and anointing are different. Anointing has to do with the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. John 14:26 records that Jesus says the Spirit would initiate a teaching ministry. And in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 27, John says we have an anointing from the Holy One. Doesn't specifically say that it's the Holy Spirit, but if the person of the Godhead who is teaching us is the Holy Spirit, then that anointing, which in 1 John chapter 2 especially appears as teaching that helps us to discern truth from error, that teaching ministry is undoubtedly the ministry of the Holy Spirit, different from filling. Well, it's safe to say that no Christian has ever taken full advantage of this wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit, his filling. Every one of us can do more in obeying Scripture and growing in Christlikeness under the controlling ministry of the Holy Spirit. For many years, I've been particularly struck by the description of Stephen during his service and his martyrdom. He was so Christ-like that just as his Savior had done, he could forgive his murderers even as he was dying unjustly. He was a man who took Scripture, internalized it, and grew to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And he died in a way very similar to the way of dying of the Lord Jesus Christ. And his reward was to see Jesus ready to receive him into his presence. I see heaven standing open. He saw Jesus ready to take him. And if this is what the filling of the Holy Spirit brings about, we should all want to make it a key part of our lives. Let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this great ministry of your Spirit, his filling. It saddens us that there have been so many ways of cheapening this great truth, this great work of the Spirit, so many ways that people have come up with over the centuries. Thank you for your word, its simplicity. Thank you that careful study helps us to see what the filling of the Spirit means. We acknowledge also that the filling of the Spirit is something that involves the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ, not the exaltation of the Spirit. We believe that's your order, and we thank you for that. Thank you that when we are filled, Jesus Christ is exalted. And may we seek to be so controlled by the Holy Spirit that through the internalization of Scripture and obedience to it, the Lord Jesus Christ shines through our lives as it did in the life of Stephen. We pray these things in Jesus' name.